You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Yesterday, I started on my discussion of what really needs to be done in the United States because we have two political parties, the Republican and Democratic parties, that are for big government. And if you're an independent Tea Party movement member, even if you're on the left, you really don't have anyone to vote for, whether you're on the left or the right. If you're a libertarian, which I am, or a classical liberal, while the Republicans may be marginally better, both parties are for the warfare welfare state. That's what we have in the United States. And the way to not only confirm it, but convince you that's the situation is just look at the U.S. federal budget. And what I did yesterday for yesterday's show, which I will continue, not tomorrow. Tomorrow there will be no show, but on Thursday and Friday is a continuation of that show, develop what I started yesterday. I'm not going to do it today for one reason. I've been listening to talk radio. I've been listening to the news. And there's one story that's clearly dominating this 24-hour news cycle. And that is the release today in the Senate by the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, the senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, of the report on the CIA's actions in interrogating prisoners, terrorists, and the fact that, according to her, we were using torture, or we were interrogating prisoners, and those prisoners happened to be terrorists that were involved in the planning and the execution of 9/11. Now, part of the problem I have with the release of the report, it potentially can endanger not only U.S. government employees, whether they're working for the Central Intelligence Agency or the military, but it can endanger those that helped us in that interrogation process. Many of those are allies, such as Poland, but there are other governments as well. And you can put people's lives in danger. That's the problem with this type of report. Why few, if any, Americans are going to read it? I certainly don't have the time or inclination to read the report. Because what we're really talking about is the interrogation of three prisoners that were mass murderers responsible for the deaths of nearly 3,000 people in the World Trade Center. And we were interrogating because we didn't want a repeat of that. Now, I need to say something right off the bat. 9/11, the attacks on September 11, 2001, were by far the worst intelligence failure that this country has ever had. Now, most people identify intelligence with the Central Intelligence Agency, but they're really small potatoes compared to the National Security Agency that is responsible for signals intelligence. So the failure was primarily of the National Security Agency, as well as the other security agencies and the FBI, to warn the American public and really stop the attacks. Remember, most of these, the people involved were Saudis. I think there were 15 and 12 were Saudis. And they were al-Qaeda. They were sent by al-Qaeda and bin Laden. I think there's no doubt on that. And what they were engaging in was a terrorist act of people that simply don't have the weapons. They don't have the missiles. They certainly didn't have the armaments. They could not take out those two towers and as well as part of the Pentagon, and they were going after, I believe, the Capitol, although that plane did crash in a field in Pennsylvania. This is an act of desperation. It is very much a long shot. I firmly believe Bin Laden never thought that it would be this successful, because two of the largest buildings in the United States were brought down in about an hour's time, and they had to use airliners, and they were committing suicide. They knew this was a one-way flight. The terrorists did. They weren't going to get out of this with their lives. That's how desperate they were, but it also shows the courage of fanatics, and these were fanatics. And what they objected to was the United States' involvement in Saudi Arabia. That's where they're from. And the fact that the Saudi royal family, which is a very authoritarian regime, I need to say up front, why, if you're part of the royal family or the people that service the royal family, you're well taken care of. Anyone that tries to really dissent and obviously overthrow this monarch will be dealt with severely. And that includes torture and execution by beheading. And that's rather par for the course for the regimes in the Middle East. They're anywhere from authoritarian to totalitarian, and they routinely try to suppress any dissent using the police, as well as the so-called secret police. They have different names in different countries to go after anyone that politically is motivated to trying to overthrow, or for that matter, even trying to improve the situation of the citizens of that country. And it doesn't matter whether it's Egypt, Libya, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and to a lesser extent, Pakistan. So torture is routine in those countries, and it's used to limit and suppress political dissent. And we, I mean the United States government, has in the past, as is in the present, and will be in the future, allies to many of these regimes. Some of these regimes vigorously oppose the United States, such as Iran, and uses proxies, such as Hezbollah, to attack the United States. They did it in Iraq. They were supplying the more sophisticated bombs that were killing American soldiers in Iraq when we had our soldiers there. Now, what needs to be said, and needs to at least be raised, is why are we in the Middle East at all? Now, you've heard the president say, you'll hear the chairman of the Joint Chiefs say, national interest or national security interest. But what are they talking about? That's a rather abstract term. What is it that is our national interest there? Look on the map for most of these countries. It's mostly desert. There's not much there. It's desert, folks. The Sahara Desert in northern Africa. You know, going through the low to mid, most of the deserts in the world are in what's called the low to middle latitudes, 20 degrees to 30 degrees, in this case, north or south of the equator. And there you'll find the deserts of the world, covered with sand. It's not sand. It's what's under the sand, and that's oil. That, ladies and gentlemen, is why the United States, Great Britain, France, all the world powers have been vying for over 100 years, for domination, if they can get it, influence as a second alternative, but to have a presence in the Middle East. It's not because they like these people. It's not because of the sand, it's the oil. Because today, any modern economy, its transportation sector runs on gasoline, diesel oil, aviation fuel. It is needed for industry. It's needed for the population to move around. And it's also needed to the military to run its ships, its planes, and to transport soldiers, sailors, Marines, whether by plane or by ship, to fight in these various countries. Oil is the national interest. Let's not forget that. And that needs to be said, and that reminder needs to be said over and over again. Now, on my Friday show, I went over briefly, and at some future point, probably next year, I'll go over in more detail what's going on in not only the Middle East, but what's going on with gasoline prices. What can we expect both in the short term and in the long term? But what influences Much of our discussion and decisions on the Middle East is oil. I would say, I won't say all, but most of your major oil companies, just to illustrate the point, are drilling for oil in Iraq, both in southern Iraq and the Basra area, where a lot of the oil is, but also in the Mosul area in northern Iraq. So the real national interest is oil. And it's not just the United States companies. It's also BP, British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell, as well as several Chinese, communist Chinese oil companies. So oil will continue to be a focus of all the nations of the world, but particularly those that rely on the Middle East for a supply of its oil. And that includes Japan, China, India, as well as Western Europe, and to a lesser extent, the United States. The United States is fortunate, is going through a period due to innovation in both fracking and directional drilling or horizontal drilling, that our oil production is dramatically increasing. And that's one of the reasons that the price of gasoline has gone down from roughly $3.70 a year ago to now under $2.30. That's a decline of $1.40 in less than a year, actually less than about 7 months. Now, I'm saying that is that's why we're in the Middle East. And will remain in the Middle East and be engaged with the Middle East and allied with governments that, quite frankly, are not very democratic. They are primarily oligarchies, groups of people in power. They're in it for the money, they're in it for the power, and they will use religion to stay in power and, to a certain extent, force obedience to their will. That's nothing new. It is nothing new. The United States, when it was founded, was unique. It was exceptional. It was a representative republic. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. It was primarily the wealthiest families in the United States that were involved in the American Revolution. But they did, in their wisdom, set up a limited representative republic. And for at least the first 100 to 150 years, it worked. But around 1914, a trend developed towards bigger and bigger government to expand dramatically, not only the size, but the scope of the government. And government for progressives became a way to right society's wrongs. And there were wrongs to be put right. The problem is, and this is a lesson that many on the left simply refuse to learn, the corruption they complain about is largely due to big government. And the bigger the government, the more corruption you're going to get. And the answer is not more the same. Down that road lies tyranny. And the important point is we're going down that road. Some would say we're very far down that road. In other words, the limited representative republic is turning into a big government empire, an American empire. And the two pillars of this American empire are the warfare and welfare state. Because all empires seek to project their power abroad. That's why we are one of the only nations that have more than a dozen aircraft carrier groups to project power, to defend our national interest wherever it needs defending. And for most of the last 50 years, that has been in the Middle East. Not entirely, because there used to be another empire, the Soviet Empire, that fell. They simply could not compete with the American Empire in terms of not only national defense spending, but also in the production of goods and services for the American consumer. I'm bringing this up because I think there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. Because the Republicans will control the Senate starting early January when they come back from their recess. I believe it's on the 3rd. Monday's the 5th, so I'm not sure exactly when they'll be sworn in. But starting in early January, the control of the Senate will change from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party as a direct result of the election in November. So we have a rush by Senator Feinstein to get a report out that will embarrass the CIA, but also potentially can endanger people that have assisted the CIA all over the world. See, the people that will really look at this report are primarily the enemies of the United States. The terrorists that we interrogated, their friends and allies, whether they're Sunni or Shia, will be looking at that report. First, to eliminate anyone in their nations that have betrayed them, and also to embarrass other governments that did our bidding and interrogated and tortured other prisoners so the United States' hands could be ostensibly clean. Now, why was the CIA interrogating these three people? They brought down, destroyed, and killed nearly 3,000 people. We did not want another attack, and there was a fear, a palpable fear, that in the next coming years we would have another attack. This was just the first of many. And I need to remind the Democratic senators and representatives that you were in fear too. We knew we had had an intelligence failure, both by the CIA and the NSA. And what happened is Congress opened its checkbook, gave both agencies, as well as other intelligence agencies in the government, we have many, as much money as possible for one key objective: to at all cost prevent another 9-1-1. And I think the American people, including me, would agree with that. That's a worthwhile objective. And why it's not pretty, and you'll get an argument that what the CIA did in terms of waterboarding, sleep deprivation, manipulation of their diet was torture. And I see both sides of this. I think you can make a strong case that it is or is not torture. It's certainly crossing a line, but you must not forget what preceded it. What was the predicate here? The United States had been attacked successfully. Just look at the video of the falling towers. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to the pronkpop.wordpress.com blog. It's a companion blog for this show. And at the very top, you'll have links to my most recent 60 to 80 shows. And at the very bottom, the links to my entire portfolio. But in between, you will have my notes, which include videos, articles, statistics. So you have to remember what brought this on. And what was the reaction? We had the Patriot Act was passed. I'm not in favor of the Patriot Act, but that was spying on Americans, ostensibly to prevent another 9-1-1. And yes, the CIA was active in interrogating terrorists, but something else was initiated, and that was the drone program, where we used drones to kill terrorists, known identified terrorists, in countries that we cannot physically get to by our own military forces. And that continues today. A matter of fact, it was accelerated by President Obama. So I think you have a lot of hypocrisy here. You have the Democrats, including Feinstein and Kerry, trying to use this to bash President Bush and being critical of the CIA. Why today we are using drones to kill terrorists, but we're also killing a lot of innocent civilians. You see, to have a successful drone program, what do you need? You need intelligence, real-time intelligence, to identify where these bad guys, these terrorists, are going to be. And guess what? Mistakes are made. Innocent people are killed. And I think it's just as reprehensible. Actually, I think far worse, these drone programs, because even while a lot of effort is made to get it right, we are killing hundreds of innocent people. And that only multiplies the people in these countries that are against the United States and its American people. So it needs to stop, because I don't think torture works. Occasionally it does. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But in the drone programs, if you happen to be an innocent civilian in the wrong place at the wrong time, you, your children, your wife, your relatives could be killed. And that is done in the name of the United States of America by the President of the United States. You see, intelligence is key here. information of what your friends as well as your enemies are doing, what their intentions are. And the problem with the drone programs, what's critical to targeting these individuals is that intelligence. And where you don't have human intelligence on the ground, this is very much a hit and miss situation. Yeah, we've killed some bad guys, some terrorists, but we've also killed far more innocent civilians. I'd like to see the moral outrage from the Democratic Party on what President Obama is doing. That is the sheer hypocrisy here by both the Democratic and the Republican parties. They support the drone program, and they supported the enhanced interrogation techniques when the United States, right after, had suffered the 9/11 tragedy of 3,000 Americans being killed and the destruction of property. So while a lot of attention is being given to the release of this report, and I think it's ill-advised releasing the report, by the way, I'm not in favor of the release of the report. This is very much old news. This is a politically driven decision by Senator Feinstein to get on her moral high horse while she totally forgets what the president of her own party is doing. He is, as bad as torture is, when you get killed by a missile fired by one of these drones, you're dead. There's no way to revive those people. That's the danger and the cost of having big government of both parties engaged in a empire building and empire protecting strategy. Stop the hypocrisy, because the first casualty is always truth, and the truth simply is not getting out. With that, I have to close. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.